before we got married because we didn't. She'd probably try to get mad at me and said we didn't even have sex after we got married and we got two kids. But see, I know what she means, because that's what they do. They try to dehumanize a black man. Well, that don't work on me. That's something your mama taught you, and she need to repent too, lest she bust hell wide open. It's terrible what's going on in our society today. Does it appear that I am leaning towards the black man? Yay, yay. I see all them filling up the jails. And all it takes is a strong woman to love them. All right, let me go back to my scenario because I didn't finish. So Easy is a pastor and Darrell Hackett is the associate pastor. And they are running the Living by the Word Bible Church. Now, I never called any of those guys to be preachers. Deacons at most. I won't even get into Darrell Hackett. I love that brother to this day. Love his wife, love his children. Last time I saw him, he wouldn't even shake my hand. He was at a funeral of one of the dead people at the vet. I said, hello, put my hand out to shake it. He just looked at me. Lord have mercy. You see, my friend, you can spend years. You young man, listen to me, because see, you working with people out there and you feeling good because you're feeling good about this. Number one, you better discover whether these people are really saved or whether these people are just religiously superstitious. Maybe something didn't go right in their life and they fell on religion. They had to get into the metaphysical because they couldn't deal with the reality of the here and now. I've always been a pastor that would tell people. That's why that barber in the barbershop said, Pastor, that's what I love about you, man, because you, and he going to tell all those other guys what I said. I want him to say that. And you know what I told him? I said, man, look, I'm not going to try to be your perfect Ace Boone Coon. I don't know what that is. I'm struggling with some things in my own life. I had a brother Lyles call me. And he told me today, well, I don't know what it is that you're struggling with. Well, Leonard, I love you, brother, and I ain't going to tell you what it is. Because, number one, it ain't none of your business. And number two, your prayers ain't going to help me. If I'm struggling with something, I need to stop struggling and let it go, right? That's all. So, brother, you ain't got to pray for me at all. Ain't nobody got to pray for me. When God says the time is up, the time is up. When I'm dead, I'm dead. And he will judge me with my struggles and my trials and all of that. I got some issues, people, that I talk to God about like man to man. And I just start weeping before him. And guess what I say at the end of it? As a matter of fact, I got to share this with you. I was at the barbershop and I was telling the barbers that I have a plan to stop being a pastor, because I'm so tired of people using and abusing me. I'm not going to let them do it again. One of the barbers, who professed to be a Christian but not a very good one, he stopped coming to the study because he said, man, your studies are too hot. He says, I don't think any dude in his right mind under 30 years old can do that, because the women out there, they hot and they want what we have and we're going to give it to them. And I said, boy, I'm praying for you. Anyhow, he steps in the shop while I'm there. And he heard what I said. And he came up to me. And he looked me dead in my eyes. He said, did you get the okay from God on that, Pastor John? And I looked at him and I said, oh, you haven't been coming to Bible study. He said, hold on. Did you get the okay from God to stop pastoring black people, Pastor John? I looked at Percy. And I said, no. And my voice kind of dropped. And he said, when he hugged me, that's why I love you so much. Because you can't lie. That's you, John. And we need you. And you know what? I'm going to tell you people something. Can I be real with you? When a sinner talks to me like that and hugs me, a sinner, and respects me and digs me, it encourages me to go on. The church, They would have called Dr. MacArthur and said, well, let me tell you what Pastor John, you don't have to tell him what I said. Tell him to listen to the darn webcast. Don't have to do that. And that's what's happened in evangelicism. All of us have tensions in our lives. You that are listening to me have tensions. I know you don't want to talk with nobody. You can talk to me about it. I ain't going to laugh at you. You can tell me what your habits are. I ain't telling you mine. Because I don't want to stunt your spiritual growth. I got a young, I believe he's a Christian. He carries his Bible to school and everything. And I have to tell him in the classroom, you know, you need to stop talking about God in this classroom. He's not allowed in this classroom. You know better than that. And I talk with a lot of them on the campus a lot. And this young man is just failing. He's just failing, you know. You know, I tell him, I said, man, you're so bad in your schoolwork, man. You got to pick up your schoolwork here. You got to do something. Step it up. He can't step it up because he's all twisted about this Christianity stuff that he's doing. He's listening to these evangelicals. Oh, Lord. But if anything, I'm going to tell him, discover for yourself what it is that God has advised you that he wants you to do. After you have discovered what God has advised you that he desires of your life, set forth an effort to do that and only that, and be consistent with it. Keep your mind focused upon what he's calling you to do. That's what I've done over the years. I didn't go to school to become Pastor John. I didn't go to school to become a radio broadcaster. Before I was a Christian, I was taking radio broadcasting at the Columbia School of Broadcasting, a corresponding school from Hollywood and from San Francisco. I've been in broadcasting ever since I was in my early 20s. And so this is something that God has been doing for all my life. Before I went into the Army, I went into the Army as a radio teletype operator, a radio man, broadcasting, communication specialist. That's my forte. Now you got to discover what yours is. That's how you discover what ministry is. And then once you discover what yours is, it was kind of interesting because as I was watching the pictures that Dan Miranda sent to me, I wrote him back and I says, oh my God, it looks like a John Coleman classroom. Dan Miranda is teaching his class just the way he learned from a true Bible teacher how to do Bible studies and lectures with whiteboards and PowerPoint in a well-known Baptist church in a southern state. Nationally known. And I said, it was like I was sitting there and Dan said to me, oh my God, how I miss you, PJ. And he remembered when all the slanderous things came out on me. And you know what I told him? Oh, brother, they're going to come out on you too. And when they come out on you too, you're going to have to see how you're going to have to fare when this takes place. The evangelical church. Come on now. Come on now. Institutionalized slavery. I be independent, my friends. That's what I'm attempting to say to you. Be independent. Oh, I got something else to report. It's not quite an hour, so. Johnny Jones, my ex-chairman of the trustee board, called me today. John, why are you giving names? Because I'm transparent. I want you to see through me. I'm not like churchmen that won't give any names. I'm not going to get sued because I'm telling the truth. I gave a Bible study last night, and I was telling the people to help people when you see them in need, and the Christian sat in the class and told me, oh, no, I'm not going to help nobody. I can be sued for doing that. You're a fool, Pastor John. If somebody's in an accident and you go there and try to touch them and help them and that person dies, their family will sue you. I said, so you're telling me that since I'm not a professional, well, if you move them, if you touch them, they can die. Yeah, this is true. If I saw bones sticking all out and all that kind of stuff, what I'm talking about, if a child was just laying in the street, a teenage girl was laying in the street and collapsed, and she was laying on hot concrete, I saw her collapse. And I said, I'm going to move her and put her on the grass. Most of the Christians in the Bible study group told me that I was a fool, that I should let her lay on the hot concrete and burn, because the law says that if I begin to cry in the classroom. Jesus came to die for me. And I can't help a little one or an old one or anyone. I don't want that kind of religion. I don't want it. And I got to raising my voice. I know my neighbors heard me next door. I got to raising my voice and hollering at the students. And I said, that is what has happened to the church. I said, if you get sued, then get sued. Suffer for Christ, for God's sake. And stop trying to protect your raunchy behinds. I said, you disgust me with your safety. When Christians are dying in foreign countries and you're listening to these man-made stupid behind laws put together by people that don't want to be accountable for nothing. Now you see why I want to resign from being a pastor. You can't be a pastor and teach. And then I gave them all the Bible verses that literally contradicted everything that the laws in this land told me. I said, don't you people know that Christianity is an argument against the laws of the land? And if you keep Christianity, you must break the laws of the land, which entail brings what? Martyrdom. You get it? Pastor John, I think you're an extremist. No, I'm not an extremist. You better read your Bible. Instead of going to these places like The Rock, Disneyland Church. Oh, doesn't it look nice on the internet? You look at the pastor, half black, half white, whatever he is. You know, I don't know what language he's talking. I said, what kind of a joke is this? But yet and still, if somebody falls on the campus of the church, wait a minute, we have to have a medical doctor there. You don't move him because they may sue you. Hold up. I'm a Christian. They're a Christian. They're going to sue me if I'm trying to help them and I hurt them? Yes. So what should I do? Let them lay. All right, let me change the scenario for you. Since all of you are going to try to go to the seminarians and ask them the questions, and all those doofuses are going to do is go to their professors and ask them, and what they're going to do is, how do we protect the church? How do we protect the building? How do we protect the business? That's the way they answer the questions. They should give a Bible verse. Back in the day before all these laws and all this foolishness, people were falling in the street, getting broken up, and everything else. Didn't nobody sue nobody. Everybody understood that the person was attempting to help. And to sue a person that's attempting to help your loved one is ridiculous, especially coming from a Christian. You ask me why I have no tolerance for the church? You ask why I haven't put a webcast up lately? I'm looking at all this crap. That's what it is. It's crapola coming from the church. And then I'm saying, you're part of that, man. You're part of that. And ain't nobody loving nobody. No expression of love. Just oh, man, well, you know, as long as me and my family's safe, we got money, we got food. Hey, you know, I feel sorry for you, brother. Hey, man, I give you a dollar. Here you are. Don't come to me no more. Go ahead, make it on your own. Got a few minutes. My young friend Mario, I think he got accepted in Santa Barbara State University. I'm so happy for him. He's working on it, going to school, finishing up all his stuff, and since he's parentless and a young man. He got a couple of grants and they're paying for his education. That young man called me and he says, "Thanks, old man." He says, "Can I tell you something?" I said, "Go ahead, Mario. Talk to me, bro." I said, "You know, you brought living hell in my house." And he laughed, and in Mario's own voice, he said, "Oh, I'm so sorry, old man." You know what he said, Christians? He said, "I didn't know what I was doing." And he said, "You saved my life." Now, you know what? I don't care what the church says about me. They can talk about me, scandalize my name, take the pulpit, take the pastorate. You hypocrites. Lest you take someone in off the street and love them like Christ did and get a testimony like that, your faith is vanity. And I'm not telling you to go out and take a street urchin off the street, because you will get robbed. Don't get me wrong. You know what I'm saying. What it is that God has told you to do, you're supposed to do that. Don't be looking at me. I'm doing what I'm capable of doing. Sick of hypocrite Christians. Just looking out for your own. Adopt a young man. Take him in your home with your children. Make Jethro share that bedroom with him. Yeah. Let him eat your food. Adopt him. No, you don't want to do that. You're too selfish. I ain't got enough of my own. All right. Well, I've rambled on enough. Let me share this with you. God always has a ram in the bushes. God always has an answer when we think he ain't talking. I want to thank you for listening to another one of my webcasts on this magnificent day of May the 7th, 2009. From Los Angeles, California, this is Pastor John Sand. Thank you. Thank you so much for taking time out to listen. Now, before we end, I want to say this. What was the whole intention of this hour's webcast? Stop being hypocritical and live your Christian life. Don't listen to anybody else out there that says that they following God and God told them and tell them to move. You don't need to sit down and listen to a pastor all your days to try to figure out how to live. All you need to do is open up that Bible. Dedicate yourself to the Word of God. Stand alone on that island called life. And enjoy you some biblical Christianity. This is Pastor John. God bless you. And whatever you do, you know the drill. Stay in the Word. Bye-bye.